I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed to us. This is the fourth of 14 Sundays on which we are reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. And we pick up today not far from where we ended last Sunday. Recall that last week was a meditation on slavery to sin, which requires those who are baptized into Christ to put to death whatever is contrary to the gospel in order to live by the Spirit of God who dwells within us. Then between last Sunday's reading and this morning's, there are three verses on the grace of adoption, in which Paul says that by baptism we are made children of God, members of Christ, and heirs to the kingdom of heaven, but only if we suffer with Christ, so that we may also be glorified with him. And that's where we pick up today. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed to us. St. Paul was a realist, and his preaching never attempted to disguise from the disciples of Christ that being a Christian always demanded suffering. We must suffer the same futility of life that afflicts all other people, and we must experience the contempt of our faith from those who do not yet know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome that the glory which will be revealed on the last day so far surpasses the sufferings of this present age that there can be no comparison. And this should encourage us to endure our suffering patiently, to keep calm, and to carry on. But there is more here than good advice. There is, in fact, good news, gospel truth. Paul writes, "For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God." But what is he talking about? What does it mean to say that creation is subject to futility? Notice that Paul says that creation awaits freedom with eager expectation. His image here is like a watchman on the high mast of a ship, with eyes trained on the distant horizon for the first glimpse of a safe port after a long and dangerous journey. Creation, the universe itself, is watching and waiting for its redemption with eager expectation. And where will the universe find this revelation? From the children of God. From the baptized, from those born again by water and the Holy Spirit, from those set free from slavery to sin and death by grace through faith, from those redeemed from the grave by the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we find one essential dimension of the Christian vocation, to be a witness that the coming new creation is the end of all futility and the beginning of perfect freedom. But what is this futility of which Paul speaks? The futility of corruption. Consider, everything we build decays. Everything. All beauty fades. All glory passes. Every life ends. Every person is forgotten. Everything ever accomplished by humanity will be lost, and the very universe itself will cease to be. Therefore, Creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God, for creation was made subject to futility. Paul continues, "We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves," meaning the baptized, "we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies." Here the apostle uses the image of a woman in labor pains, groaning from the ordeal, and yet full of hope and love because of the promise of a child to come. But in the case of the cosmos, what will be delivered is the new heavens and the new earth, a universe restored by God to its original glory and purpose, a cosmos without corruption and futility, in which all things have been made new and eternal by the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the Word made flesh, the Lamb once slain who lives forever. Last week, I spoke of the oldest disagreement in human history. In the garden, the serpent promised our first parents before their fall from grace that they would find perfect happiness and divine glory in self-assertion, while the Word of God reveals that we find perfect happiness and divine glory in self-sacrifice. The serpent lies. The Word of God is truth. And as we read in the first lesson from Isaiah this morning, God's Word never fails in its mission, but always achieves the purpose for which it is sent. In the passage from Romans we have today, the Apostle Paul explains the cosmic dimension of the serpent's lie with an image of a pregnant woman, language redolent of the woman promised in Genesis, whose son would crush the serpent's head, the same woman in labor described in Revelation as clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars. The woman, Mary, whose son prevailed in the cosmic struggle of principalities and powers and cast out the serpent, who is the accuser, a murderer, and the father of lies, in order to inaugurate the everlasting kingdom of justice, love, and peace. In this passage from the letter to the Romans, we glimpse a small part of the cosmic struggle to be liberated from slavery to sin and death, and to find the freedom of the children of God. The paradox is that perfect freedom is found only in obedience, loving obedience, the obedience of faith. Following the Lord Jesus in the way of the cross, our path to freedom, is painful, and it requires us to suffer with Christ in order to put to death in ourselves whatever is contrary to the gospel. But that struggle should never discourage us, because the suffering we endure cannot be compared to the glory that awaits. The gospel today contains the parable of the sower, in which the Lord Jesus freely acknowledges how hard it is for us to hear and heed the word of God. In the parable and his explanation of it to the 12, Christ explains the difficulty of remaining faithful to the gospel while enduring tribulation, persecution, and the lure of pleasure. But we should have no doubt of what we will find on the far side of that struggle. The Lord Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." My friends, all creation awaits with eager anticipation the revelation of the living and active word of God, so that by obedience to that word, everyone can be set free from slavery to sin, to death, and to the futility of corruption, and so share in the glorious freedom of the children of God by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.